Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for using me. And Lord, I just pray that after this, Bruce doesn't judge me too much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I want you to know I fasted before I came here because I believe fasting carries power, but I ate a breath mint. So I'm not sure how much power I'm going to have after. I don't know. It might be dwindling on and off. All right. Yeah, Proverbs 17:22 says, you don't have to put this up there, it's fine, that a joyful heart is a good medicine. So I kind of like to joke around a little bit. So I believe it's a good medicine. I believe Jesus was the most joyful person. And I believe that even on the cross, he was still the most joyful person. And he gave us medicine, and that is laughter. So we're allowed to laugh, right?
Amen.
Okay, so a little bit about me. I was kind of raised in a church. I was in a divorced family. So on one side, I was a rebellious kid. I was drinking on the weekdays and after school, sneaking out, getting into trouble. And on the weekends, I was living with my grandparents who were pastors at a point. They helped start Shell Lake Full Gospel with Pastor Virgil Amundson, if you know him. And they would force feed me the Bible. Like, they would force feed me everything. Like, I was five, and I remember standing up at Hardee's just listening to my grandpa talk about Jesus. And that's not something you want to do as a five-year-old. So, anyways, so I had a little bit of rebellion in me. John was one of my best friends growing up. He's on the sound. We went to high school together. We went to middle school together. My first interaction with John, he was an awkward homeschooled kid. I honestly, the first time he took me out to hang out with him, I thought he was going to murder me. We went out and we were out in the woods, and I'm like, I barely know this guy, and he's really awkward at school. And he brought a hatchet into the middle of the woods, and I'm just following him around everywhere. And I'm like, oh, man, Mom, just so you know, I'm in the woods, and John's got a hatchet, just so you know. So he didn't murder me. Honestly, he murdered me in a different way, though. Basically, he invited me to his wedding. I was one of his groomsmen, and how he murdered me is he didn't make me the best man, so that was kind of lame. But he gave me an opportunity to forgive, so my reward's in heaven, so that's pretty cool. So thanks, John, I appreciate it. All right, how I met the Jacobs. Sorry. All right. So I used to go to Bible camp. How many of you know of Fusion Bible Camp? You guys should go there. You know, like, you can make really good friends. Well, if you're a young adult, or wait, if you're a teenager, you should go. Or in middle school. Or if you want to be a camp counselor. Yeah, if you want to be a camp counselor. Anyways, you could potentially meet your wife there or your husband there. That's what John did. It was great. It's what I almost did. Sorry. So John met Brian when they were about 17 is what they tell me. I always change the story. I think we met when we were younger, but whatever. And since they met, they introduced me to their sisters and all this stuff and yada, yada, yada. And they liked me and John enough that they would keep inviting us to the cabin every year, which is close to my hometown. I lived 5 hours north of here. Every year, I would encounter Bruce. And our relationship was, I was gonna try to fish to impress everybody, and I was trying to catch the biggest fish in the lake. And I hooked this little fish, like this big. And I tangled the string and got it all messed up. And I was just trying to impress everybody, and I reeled this thing in. I'm like, I'm the only one that caught the fish. But I also tangled the string, and Bruce basically hated me ever since. And I'm giving him opportunities to forgive, so your rewards will be in heaven too. And so yeah, he was always like, yeah, never marry any of my daughters. And yeah, so eventually, I've actually tried to move here quite a few times. I tried to move here for maybe 7 years. I was trying to, I graduated high school. I'm like, hey guys, I'm gonna move to Kenosha. Bruce, you got a job for me? He's like, no, don't work with me. another time I tried to move, I was like, hey Bruce, I need a place to stay. He's like, I don't want you living in my house. and then 1 year, I don't know if you guys know Steve and Kayla, they used to come to this church. I came here and Bruce spoke, and this is what restored our relationship was, or at least I hope. And he preached, and his word impacted me pretty deeply. And he had his notes, like we all have our notes when you preach. And he went back home and he was just gonna throw them away, and he saw me digging through his trash. And he was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm looking for the word that you gave. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah, that word impacted me, and it changed my relationship with God and everything. It was impactful. And then I was about to leave. I found it and I was about to leave. And Bruce encounters me in the garage, and he's like, Austin, you can marry any of my daughters. It looks like I missed the boat on that one. So that's fine. It's fine. So you don't always meet your wife at Bible camp, just so you know. So there you go. So that's a little about me. Like I said, I went to John's wedding, John and Brian's wedding, and when I saw Bruce there, I just told him, hey, this was a really, I was crying. I was crying at their wedding. Briley can attest to it. She saw me crying. I never cry. And so anyways, Bruce just has been, I don't know if he was joking or not, but he's been asking me to come preach here sometime. So I always took it as a joke. And then I never thought I'd be here. And here I am. So that's kind of how it happened. God just dragged me over here. And so, yeah, that's basically it. I want to talk about the crumbs that lead to the feast. And first, I want to start with a scientific fact. Actually, yeah, we're just going to talk about science today. And how many of you know with science, they say you are what you eat? You all know that, right? Like, so if you eat a hot dog, does it mean you become a hot dog? No, you're not a hot dog. You're gonna feel lousy all day. If you eat junk food, you feel like junk all day, right? If you eat something healthy, you're gonna feel healthy all day, right? You're gonna feel really good. So how many of you know that, I'm gonna use some analogies. So junk food is a lot like sin. It looks appealing, it tastes good, but it's gonna leave you feeling terrible in the long run. If you eat candy bars every day, or if you drink as much soda as I do every day, then it's gonna affect you in the long run. So that's why you wanna refine yourself. So, what is the feast? I believe the feast is getting close to God. The feast is worship. The feast is getting into your word. The feast is fasting, which is kind of doesn't make much sense. But when you fast, you draw closer to the Lord. So God kind of does things kind of opposite sometimes. And then what we want as Christians is to walk in power, right? We want to walk with the Holy Spirit. We want to walk with what God is doing. We want to walk in miracles. How many of you have seen a miracle? Yeah, like most of the church? Yeah. So, however, there was something that kind of popped up to me. Let me just look at my notes quick. So, I believe there's also crumbs from the feast. Now, you guys might be thinking, like, that sounds a little, you can't talk about the Lord like that. You know, everything that he gives is full. You know, everything will fill me up. But I want to talk about John 6:48-51. If you can all turn there. I'm using the Amplified version. Okay, so this is Jesus talking. He compares himself to bread. I am the bread of life, the living bread which gives and sustains life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, believes in me, accepts me as Savior, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Wow, that's pretty powerful. So, the next verse I want to read is in Matthew 15. 21 through 28. If you all want to turn there, you can. Otherwise, I could be just telling you the wrong thing and you won't know anything about it. All right. After leaving there, Jesus withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that district came out and began to cry out, urgently saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, Messiah. My daughter is cruelly possessed by a demon." But he did not say a word in answer to her. And his disciples came and asked him repeatedly, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting out after us." He answered, "I was commissioned by God and sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to kneel down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he replied, "It is not good, appropriate, or fair to take the children's bread and throw it to pet dogs." Dang, that's kind of nerve-wracking. She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the pet dogs eat the crumbs that fell from the young master's table." And then he responded, I got my note covering it, that Jesus answered her, "Woman, you have great faith. It will be done as you wish." And her daughter was healed in that moment. So she said crumbs. Even the crumbs we eat. So how many of you know that crumbs can taste just like the feast? Crumbs can taste good. Crumbs are actually not a bad thing. Crumbs are actually a really good thing. You know, like you go to a meat deli thing and they give out little samples. It's gonna make you eat the sample, it's gonna make you want to eat the whole thing, right? Right? So when we go out, I would like to compare crumbs to miracles and healings. Those things are good. They're really great. They taste like Jesus, they look like Jesus, it's all good. But it should leave you hungry for more. It shouldn't keep you just where you are, right? Like, could you imagine going up to someone outside, laying your hands on them, praying for them? Something crazy happens where, I don't know, their leg grows out or something, and then you don't lead them to Jesus, right? Yeah. So they need to know the Lord. They don't want to just taste the crumb. They'll probably be happy, like, wow, my leg's fixed, and that's it. You know, like one of the guys in the Bible, he got his leg fixed, and he just started jumping and ran away, and that's it. But we need to lead people to the Lord, too. We need people to encounter Jesus, right? So, that being said, let's turn to Leviticus 23:22. Again, I'm just reading in the AMP, so mine's going to be a little bit longer than yours, probably. I just use this Bible so I could fill in the time. Okay, so Leviticus 23:22. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the edges of your field, nor gather the gleaning of your harvest. You are to leave for the poor, for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So what I would like to propose is that when we come to church, we get a big meal. When you walk in your daily walk with the Lord, you get a big meal. You sitting here is a one-time meal. This is like going out to eat with your friends. But you also need your daily meal, right? But then we leave crumbs. We just read that in Leviticus that, you know, we have a harvest and sometimes things fall off while you're picking up your harvest. So those are the crumbs. These things are left out for the poor. You know, so who are the poor? The poor are people that don't believe in the Lord. Blink twice if you understand everything I'm saying. Okay, cool. She blinked three times. I don't know what that means. Okay, she gets me completely. All right, let's see. So let's read Matthew 5, 3, and 6. I'm going to jump around the Bible a lot because I'm really trying to get this in your mind and your spirit. Okay, this is the Beatitudes. I'm only going to read like two verses from this. What time did I start? Did I start at 11? Has it already been 30 minutes? Wow, okay. Okay, anyways, I'm trying to get you guys all, you know, fed after this, so I want you guys to enjoy your lunch and think about all this stuff. So, Matthew 5, verse 3, blessed, spiritually prosperous, happy, to be admired are the poor in spirit, those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. And I'm going to jump to verse 6. Blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who actively seek right standing with God, for they will be completely satisfied. Right? Yeah. We will be completely satisfied. Sometimes we focus so much on the miracles and the healings and all those things, we kind of forget what it's all about. We kind of forget that there's meat to this. There's something that is bigger, and that it's God. And that God is the one that fills me up, not the miracles. And the miracles should point straight to Jesus, as I've been saying. I just wanted to talk about quickly what happens when you feast on Jesus. So he also says, by the way, this is not in my notes, he also says to come to the cross daily, and I would like to use the cross as a metaphor for the table. It's a table to come at, and he compares himself to bread, right? We have to go to him daily to eat, to sustain ourselves. All right, so what do you gain when we feast? You gain connection to God, you gain community, you gain power, you gain his character. So you gain, if you can do all the miracles, that's great, whatever. But even Paul says someone who isn't spirit-filled can perform these miracles. Like, anyone can do it. Maybe some people don't know you can do it, but you can do it. But it's more about your character than anything. And so how many of you have prayed over somebody and didn't see anything happen? Like, you, yeah, I have, that's okay. Yeah, like, I prayed for cancer, I prayed against cancer, and it still affected someone. And then another time I prayed against cancer and it fell off that person. As Christians, we should take every opportunity to heal, right? To go after it, right? Okay. Am I going too fast? Okay. All right. John, am I going too fast? No? Okay. All right. So when we develop our character, when we eat from him, we develop his character. We don't become God. Like I said, we don't become a hot dog if I eat a hot dog, right? We don't become Jesus, but we start to take on his character. If he walked in joy, then I get to walk in joy in anything, in any circumstance. If there's a circumstance that's hindering you, if there's a circumstance that is hard for you, Jesus is there. When we connect with him, when we spend our first hour of the day with him, it's gonna be this supernatural thing where you can just go through the day feeling joy for no reason. You will have peace, you will have an extra measure of faith, your faith will keep increasing. And I just wanna say, let's turn to 1 John 4:16. Well, I'm not gonna read it, but I'm gonna tell you that it says that God is love. Jesus is love. And if he lives in us, then we have love. So that being said, that's one of his characteristics. So I was asking God, what are some other things that we can get or benefit when we come into you, when we take on our daily walk with you? He had me read 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7, the stereotypical Christian verse. I'm sure everybody's heard it at their wedding or something. He says, love is patient, love is kind. You know, I don't have it memorized, so I'm going to have to go and look at it. I really tried to memorize it. Okay. All right, love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered, John. Just kidding. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. So now that we know that Jesus is the embodiment of love, now we can take every phrase that begins with the word love and we can put Jesus there, right? So now that I told you that Jesus lives in us, when we pursue Jesus, we become what we eat. So if you reflect on him, you start to become like him. You know, they have that verse or that phrase that they say. There's this phrase, show me your five best friends and I'll show you your next 5 years. So if you want to become a best friend of Jesus, you're going to have a really good next 5 years, I think. we need to take the time. We can't just come to church and expect this is good enough for the week. We can't just go to men's group and be like, ah, I did my thing, I'm good to go. And then go home and be a grumpy person to our spouses or yell at our kids or whatever and look at all these bad things we're not supposed to. We gotta actually be transformed. We gotta live a transformed life, right? We gotta keep actively pursuing. It's not saying like you're gonna be perfect after hanging out with Jesus once. You need to get into the word an hour a day at least. Like I would highly recommend it. I spend an hour a day getting into the word, worshiping, anything like that, and it's transformed my life. Didn't save my hair though, but that's fine. It's not about my hair. It's not about looks. It's about God. But I understand why Brian chose John. That's fine. Just kidding. Okay, I'll give my little testimony and then we'll be good. Okay, so my testimony, I grew up with the giftings. I knew I was showing up to church. I've seen people healed and I've seen people not get healed. I've kind of seen it all. But because I was raised in the church, in a sense, I also felt like everything was kind of handed to me and I never had a personal relationship with God. But because I was eating from the crumbs, because I was seeing all these things happen to other people, I've seen legs grow out, I've seen cancer fall off, I've seen, oh man, crazy stuff. I could go another hour just talking about that. But I always felt depressed for some reason. I always felt like, okay, that was cool for that person, but how come nothing ever happens to me? How come I can give a prophetic word to that person, but I don't get anything? Or how come that person got healed, but I'm not healed? All those questions started coming along. How many of you have been there, by the way? Some of you have maybe laid a hand on somebody and you're like, man, that guy got healed of something crazy, but I still am dealing with something. So it started to like really hurt my relationship with the Lord whenever I saw everybody else getting everything and I was just, nothing was happening to me. Eventually I started getting into suicidal thoughts, things like that, and you wouldn't guess that I was suicidal. I'm probably like the happiest person here, I'm gonna be honest. Based off of your faces. Sorry. I tried to commit suicide 4 times for various different reasons. I felt like I wasn't walking in a fulfilled Christian lifestyle or a true Christian lifestyle. I was just doing all the things everybody wanted to see or hear. It left me into kind of an empty person, a powerless person, all these things. One day, I was even questioning who is God. Like, I started getting into, like, Hinduism. I was looking into Islam, all this stuff. So anyways, every time I tried to commit suicide, I heard a voice say, trust me. And I was like, wow, that was actually just enough. And I always try to make it more. Like, I always try to tell people, like, this voice said, trust me, and he's going to take care of me the rest of my life and all this stuff and whatever. And then my dad left for a season, and then I got into suicide again. And the Lord just said, trust me, I am your father. And then eventually got to the fourth time, and I remember, I'm going to get graphic, so I'm sorry. I remember just holding a knife to my face and just trying to cut myself, and nothing would happen. Nothing would happen. Or it was just maybe I didn't sharpen it and I was just stupid or something, but that's okay. But either way, Jesus used it, and I fell into the sleep, and I saw these angels coming up and down from these ladders. By the way, I didn't read the Bible yet at this point. And I saw them going into this harvest. I saw them collecting wheat and all this stuff and going back up to heaven. And then I saw this one angel, and he oddly enough dressed like Peter Pan. And he told me he'd give me $50 if I go up and climb this ladder. So I climbed this ladder, and I get to the top, and I saw it was connected to a cloud, and I saw Jesus there. And he had the holes in his hands, everything, the whole nine. And he didn't look like Mormon Jesus, so he wasn't white. He didn't have blue eyes or anything like that. So anyways, he looked like a Middle Easterner. And he said, trust in me. And I had this feeling like I was on a cloud. I'm going to die if I step off this ladder. And he said, trust me with your life. Trust me that I have you, that I don't have to tell you everything about your life, that I'm going to take care of you. And I reached out, I grabbed his hand, and he pulled me in, and then from then on, I was a Christian. I was a real believer. I was radically saved. I've never had anybody come up to me, ask me, tell me the Lord's Prayer. I've never had anybody evangelize to me because they all assumed because I go to church, I'm saved. I had to figure it all out in the Bible. So I really do believe the Holy Spirit was witnessing to me. He was helping me and guiding me. And it led to me following Christ. So that being said, we need to not just eat the crumbs and stay hungry. Hunger is good. Crumbs are good. They taste good. But being full is better and going to lead to a powerful life. Right? Amen.